AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. President Biden is turning his attention today to the debt ceiling. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The president warns that gridlock on the debt ceiling could be catastrophic.
If we don't meet our national debt and renege the first time, we have a calamity that exceeds anything that's ever happened financially in the United States.
With Republicans demanding spending cuts as part of any debt ceiling deal, Mr. Biden told a bipartisan group of mayors that he expects honest debates on taxes and spending.
Well, it's not just cutting. What do you raise? What taxes do people pay?
The president suggests he'll lay out his plan in the State of the Union address next month. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
The president will be meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy soon to discuss the debt ceiling. Google's parent company Alphabet is laying off 12,000 workers after ramping up the workforce during the pandemic. CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger says this is all about right-sizing.
And now they have to unwind a lot of those hires because they simply didn't have the business to support it going forward and out of the pandemic.
The family of a man killed after being struck by tasers is suing the L.A. Police Department.
Keenan Anderson, a 31-year-old English teacher, was repeatedly struck by tasers during the January 3rd incident. Police have described his behavior as erratic. Attorney Benjamin Crump represents Anderson's family.
Six times in 42 seconds.
Crump says the police use of tasers was excessive.
The company's even warned that it shouldn't be more than three tasers, or it could prove fatal.
Police say tests on Anderson showed cocaine in his system. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is thanking a bipartisan group of visiting U.S. senators for $2.5 billion in U.S. aid.
Thank you very much, and thanks to thanks to parties for such big help, support, and President Biden, Congress.
In Germany, defense leaders are discussing weapons aid to Ukraine. General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, with why Ukraine needs continued help.
From a military standpoint, I still maintain that for this year, it would be very, very difficult to militarily eject the Russian forces from every inch of Ukrainian-occupied or Russian-occupied Ukraine.
Today marked the first March for Life in Washington, D.C. since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise.
That's what this year's march is all about. The next steps in a post-Roe era.
Since then, several individual states have been tightening abortion restrictions. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual.
WAUK 540 AM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A teenage boy charged with kidnapping and sexually assaulting an 87-year-old woman in Waukesha faces a trial set for May. Khalil Perry pleaded not guilty yesterday. Police say he kidnapped the woman at knife point, robbed her, then assaulted her. Perry's lawyers wanted him tried in juvenile court, but the judge disagreed. There's a new chancellor in charge at UW-Whitewater. The Board of Regents is tapping Corey King for the post. He's the fourth chancellor at Whitewater in recent years. Jim Henderson quit last spring. Dwight Watson left in 2021 after a cancer diagnosis. Before that, Beverly Copper left after her husband was investigated for sexual harassment. In sports, Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers tells the Pat McAfee podcast this week he needs time to think about his future. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lierley helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Them out at GreatWallRestaurant.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, hit me, cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Tonight, we have a special show here tonight on an update with the freed Leonard Peltier. And we say that at the end of each show. And I just want to give a quick shout out to one of our supporters here, Minsure. This portion is brought to you by Minsure. You need healthy insurance. Minsure has a plan that covers your family's doctors and visits. Visit mnsure.org and find free help. So again, thank you so much, Minsure, for supporting us and these things that we talk about here. Hey, I have Rachel Thunder here with me, and who's with American Indian Movement, and also was one of the leaders, and I always say the leader, of the Leonard Peltier Walk for Freedom. And we also have Kevin Sharp on tonight, the lawyer for Leonard Peltier. And I just want, before we get going here, I just want to read just the first paragraph here of an article that was sent to me by Rachel. It says, the FBI's repeated opposition of the release of Leonard Peltier is driven by vindictiveness and misplaced loyalties, according to former senior agent close to the case, FBI agent close to the case, who is the first agency insider to call for clemency for the indigenous rights activist who has been held in the U.S. maximum security prison for almost five decades. And Rachel, come on here. I want you to kind of take over the show here, because this is a I'll let you take over just a little bit, but let's talk about what's going on and the excitement that I feel like is in the air. So I welcome you two and welcome Rachel.
Hello and thank you for having us on the show. I am Plains Cree, Nihio Nihiowoc Treaty 6. My name is Rachel Thunder, and like Robert mentioned, I was the lead organizer for the Walk to Justice, which was a 1,103-mile walk that we just completed in November. We started on September the 1st here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and walked to Washington, D.C. to advocate and raise awareness to the case of Leonard Peltier and this continued injustice that now has been happening now for five decades. And so, you know, me and Robert stay in touch to, you know, get updates and news and some of the work that continues to happen behind the scenes for clemency for Elder Peltier. And so we wanted to invite Kevin Sharp on, who's Leonard Peltier's lawyer, and I'm going to let Kevin introduce himself. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Robert, for having us on the show again. It's really important to keep getting the word out there, make sure no one forgets that Leonard's there, right? After 48 years, nearly 50 years, a lot of his supporters have moved on and have died, or, you know, and there's a whole new group of people that need to learn this story. So I'm a former federal judge, now practicing law again in Nashville, Tennessee. And I came across this case, wasn't that familiar with it. When the events happened, I was 12. I was 12 years old when Pine Ridge happened in 75. And unless you live in that world, you don't really hear about it. And I didn't know the history. I didn't know really about the events. And the file was sent to me. And I read that and digested that file as a former federal judge and as a lawyer who had taken an oath to support and defend the Constitution. That then, as I read through that, just kind of floored me that this was happening and continued to happen, right? I understood the history of the FBI and its misconduct across this country back in the 60s and 70s. Really didn't think that it was still going on to that extent. And, boy, was I wrong. And this article where FBI agent Colleen Rowley has come out could not be more of an insider. She's an insider's insider to understand the workings of the FBI. I think, I understood the workings of the criminal justice system and the federal judiciary. And so that gave me a unique insight into what was happening and helped me really understand immediately the misconduct. And that got me worked up. Colleen Rowley, Agent Rowley, understands the working of the FBI. And that's what makes this so important. So sorry, Rachel, you said introduce myself. It's hard for me to separate who I am from what I do at this point, because Leonard's case has really consumed me. Mm-hmm. And partly because it's Leonard and partly because of what it represents across this nation. So it really is who I am now at this point. Yeah. For better or for worse.
I completely understand that and empathize with that, Kevin. And I want to stay on topic too, and Robert read that opening paragraph of the article that came, I believe, from The Guardian. And so that interview, when you told me at first that Colleen Rowley, this retired FBI agent from the Minneapolis field office back in the day, was, willing to have a conversation, and then that Nick Estes with the Red Nation and a committee member of the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee was going to interview her, I was pretty surprised. But it was a pleasant surprise. And I don't know if, Robert, if you've had a chance to watch that interview, or our audience who's listening in right now, you can watch that interview. It's on YouTube. And then it's also posted on the Leonard Peltier Walk to Justice page. And there's different articles and things that you can find to find that link. But, there was a few things in that interview that I really found not surprising, but interesting and refreshing to actually hear it said by a retired FBI agent that was in a field office during that time. And when she's first introducing herself, she was talking about like the reasons that she joined the FBI, and she brought up the word justice. And this word has been echoing around in my life now for a couple of years, because we hosted the Walk to Justice, and we were asking for justice for Leonard Peltier through clemency, but we were also asking for justice for our people, for Indigenous people and for all people. And she cited justice as the reason that she joined the FBI, that she was kind of fed this narrative of noble causes. But as she slowly, completed her career until she retired, she said that, she goes through this interview and she lists these systemic policies that were flawed. and that organizationally that they were on the wrong track, and, you know, talks about all of these different flaws in the FBI. And, you know, one of the biggest points to me that she, you know, goes into is that basically, you know, as government employees, as appointed agency officials, that they should not be able to legally to spend time lobbying because they're under taxpayer dollars. And, you know, so you have this system, government institution that is going against their reduced First Amendment rights and not having equal justice in how some of their employees and agents are held accountable versus people like Leonard Peltier. And we can go a little bit more after the break.
Yeah, right on. Oh, you're getting good at this, Rachel. She knows the break's coming up. Awesome. Hey, this is a special show tonight. Free Leonard Peltier. We're with Kevin Sharp, lawyer for Leonard Peltier, Rachel Thunder with American Indian Movement, and big supporter with the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice. We'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of five $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Getting vaccinated doesn't have to be boring. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul is having a COVID-19 community vaccine event on Friday, January 27th that will feature music, crafts, art vendors, and more. Not only will you get to enjoy some great art, but you'll also receive $50 of gift card incentives when you get your shot. So protect yourself from COVID while having some fun enjoying Minnesota's vibrant Indigenous art scene. Again, that's Friday, January 27th from 3 until 7 at the Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, this portion of Native Roots Radio is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And, you know, Leonard's been fighting for many, many years, and this is a special edition of Native Roots Radio, Free Leonard Peltier Update. I have Leonard Peltier's lawyer, Kevin Sharp, and Rachel Thunder with the American Indian Movement, and also the leader of the Leonard Peltier Walk for Justice. And this is a really exciting show for me. You know, I feel like Rachel and Kevin, that we had a lot of momentum in the early 90s about freeing Leonard. Leonard was on 60 Minutes. There was documentaries. You know, actors and activists were into it. And, you know, we even had a movie kind of based on AIM and Leonard, Thunderheart, that I just watched a few days ago. It's exciting that we're going through this again. And I know I had an opportunity to talk to Leonard. He called me and I got to interview him, that they're really pressing on him, and meaning that press can't go in and really talk to him like they did before. He was on 60 Minutes. And so there's just all this monkey business going on. And we have people that were part of the murder of George Floyd who were convicted of aiding and abetting and that are going to be out in 18 months. So, Mark, justice, injustice, again, welcome you guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the difference is, and you really hit on it, there was this movement in the 90s, but I don't think that the audience, and, you know, your audience is going to be the White House, but it's also, you know, the public out there really understood and was ready to listen to this. So much has changed. You know, for an old guy like me, the 90s seemed like yesterday, but, you know, you're talking about 25, 30 years ago that these things were happening, at least, you know, over 20, and the world has changed. I think this country better understands the injustice that the United States committed against the indigenous peoples, and they're ready to listen to that. I think the world better understands or really has an awakening to the boarding schools. And I realize that there are people who are listening to this going, well, how did you not know about that? I mean, you know, we lived with that. It was part of our DNA, that trauma that we carry. But for those of us who weren't inside that world, we didn't hear about it. We didn't know about it. And it's all coming up again. And we now realize that Leonard and his family and his little sister were directly affected by that when they were kidnapped at 9 and his sister was 6 and experienced that horror and that trauma. So that Pine Ridge doesn't become about this 10-minute shootout. It becomes about the hundreds of years that led up to it. And the world is ready to listen to that. And I think we have a president who understands that, not completely maybe, and not the way the people who live there can understand it, but certainly better than any prior president has been able to understand that. And, you know, hopefully has a desire to fix it. At least change it. You can't fix it completely. It's been 50 years, but at least change the course that we're on and start that healing process.
Perfect. And Rachel, you know, we're on 11 stations in Wisconsin live. We're on Civic Media Network and all over Minnesota here with AM950. And I think it's so important that you bring this up and bring Kevin to the show, because a lot of our white allies don't know the whole true story, and they are hearing it now.
I think you're on mute. There you go, Rachel.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a good point, Robert, and it brings up a topic that, you know, we wanted to bring here to the show and to all of your listeners here in Minnesota and in Wisconsin. February the 6th this year of 2023 is going to be the 47th year anniversary of when Leonard Peltier was originally arrested. So we're talking nearly 5 decades, you know, 47 years. And in collaboration with some of the call out from the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee, we are going to be hosting a rally here in Minneapolis, Minnesota on February the 6th, 2023 at noon central at the United States District Courthouse, at the federal courthouse here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're going to have a few speakers from the local community, myself, Nick Estes, and different people involved with the movement to free Leonard Peltier. So, you know, I want to invite everybody to come and support on that day in a show of solidarity.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I definitely want to have Rachel and Kevin on again before that, too. And I plan on going down back to A Wounded Knee, too, because that's the 50th anniversary this year. And I'll be heading down there again this year. And I had the opportunity before COVID to go down there with with Clyde Belcourt and got to meet you know, some great spiritual leaders, Crow Dog, who's left us too. So we have 50 years of you know, the Wounded Knee, which really is really been a hallmark for American Indian Movement, but also the movement that really preceded Standing Rock, which became an awesome movement. Rachel, what can anybody, well, I'll put this to Kevin. Kevin, what can people do? And I know Leonard talked about letters being postcards and millions. What can people that are listening do to support your efforts, but also to reach out to whomever?
Well, you know, thanks for asking that question. I saw earlier, Dawn had asked a question about how Leonard's doing. He's 78 years old. He has been, you know, 48 of his 47 of his 48 years have been in a maximum security prison, not the best place for healthcare. Those are tough years. He's not doing well. And the White House needs to know, you know, what can people do? Call the White House, write the White House, right? Send the postcards. They listen to the constituents, right? That's what this has been about. You have a constituency of the president who has been opposed to clemency, and that's the FBI. They're an agency, but they're also a constituency. The White House and the president need to hear from the people. So anyone who is, you know, in support of Leonard needs to call the White House. They need to write the White House. They need to send emails. But they also need to do that with their federal representatives, their members of the House and the Senate, because they are also constituents of the president, and the president needs to hear from them. The U.S. members of the U.S. Senate and House of Representatives need to know that their constituents care about this. Right, we can't sit around in our houses wringing our hands talking about what a shame it is. You know, what a shame that we can't speak honestly about the inner workings of the FBI. Well, that doesn't, you know, that, okay, but that doesn't do any good. Someone has to know that you care. Somebody has to know that you oppose that, that you're outraged by that, that you are outraged that Leonard Peltier still sits in a maximum security prison. And that people need to understand that. Right, there are different levels of security within the Bureau of Prisons. If you're in a max, it says you are a danger. You're a danger to the community. You're a danger to other prisoners. Well, this is ridiculous. He is 78 years old and you know, uses a walker to get around. He's got an aortic aneurysm that could kill him at any moment. He's got diabetes. He's got, you know, heart conditions. He's not a danger to anyone. And so if you want to talk about vendettas, why does the Bureau of Prisons keep him classified as a maximum security threat? They know he's not. Every year they have unit managers in the particular prison that you're in, right? So he's in Coleman. There will be people who are in charge of his case. So there'll be a case manager, and there'll be a supervisor over the unit, and there'll be a counselor. Those individuals who know him best keep sending in the material to headquarters saying Leonard Peltier is not a threat. Leonard Peltier's health is such that he needs to be in a facility that can care for him, lower his classification, and let's move him. That would also give him the opportunity to take advantage of one of the benefits of the First Step Act, which is the default should be to house prisoners within 500 miles of their home, which means they could move him, if he lowered his classification, closer to reservation, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Reservation. Move him closer to where his friends and family live so they can visit him. Why are they not doing that? There's no rational reason for that. It's because they want to continue to punish him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the White House needs to know. If you're listening to this, if you're reading about Leonard, if you care about justice, you need to let the White House know. You need to let your senators, your representatives know. This is unacceptable and should not be tolerated in a country that seems to pride itself on its, you know, equal justice under law. I'm not seeing it in Leonard Peltier's case.
Hey, you're listening to a special edition of Native Roots Radio, Free Leonard Peltier Update. I'm with the lawyer of Leonard Peltier, Kevin Sharp, and American Indian Movement member Rachel Thunder. And we're going to be right back. And I kind of want to talk a little bit, ask Rachel about...
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. President Biden discussing the debt ceiling with the nation's mayors.
If we don't meet our national debt and reneging the first time, we have a calamity that exceeds anything that's ever happened financially in the United States.
The March for Life in Washington, D.C. today, the first since Roe v. Wade was overturned. CBS's Willie James Inman on what's next.
The movement's focus is now on Congress and the push for legislation regulating or banning abortion. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise promised to continue that fight.
The next steps in a post-Roe era.
The L.A. Police Department is being sued in the taser death of 31-year-old English teacher Kenan Anderson. Gabriel Hansel is a resident relative.
Having to hear Kenan cry out for help the way he did and to watch him be hurt by the very people who are supposed to protect him is something I will never get over.
Video shows police holding Anderson down while tasing him multiple times. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matner with your headlines. Water quality in Wisconsin is the number one priority for the new head of the state DNR. Adam Payne telling Wisconsin Public Radio he wants to be aggressive in the response to PFAS. The DNR currently investigating at least 90 sites across the state reporting high levels of these forever chemicals. The secretary designee began his duties January 3rd, but still hasn't been confirmed by the GOP-controlled state Senate. When asked if he's concerned about finding common ground with Republicans in the legislature, Payne says it's not about politics because protecting our natural resources shouldn't be a partisan issue. And you can give winter fishing a try for free this weekend. The DNR hosting free fishing Saturday and Sunday. You don't need a license, but all other fishing regulations are still in place, including limits on the number and size of fish you can keep. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Located just north of 50th and...
Radio Network here on WAUK Radio
540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw. We welcome you to the C.J. Johnson Student Event Center here at Waukesha South High School, where our beloved Blackshirts will be taking on conference juggernauts Arrowhead. This game doesn't need any hype when Arrowhead comes to town. Arrowhead is here with blood in its mouth, having lost three straight to the Blackshirts over two seasons. The last loss, a 20-point defeat, the game that the Blackshirts won to clinch the Classic A title for the first time in 20 years. So a lot of motivation for the Warhawks coming into this game, a lot of talent. But first, I want to welcome those listeners from the Native Roots Radio Network, as Blackshirt Nation is well represented by Indigenous peoples, as well as the sons and daughters of the Northern Migration, the descendants of the Middle Passage, the Irish diaspora in America, and all the banished children of Eve. It is our honor and our duty to walk alongside our Native brethren through your struggles, triumphs, and achievements, and are proud to declare that Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Ahu, and welcome to tonight's game. Hope you'll join us throughout the rest of this campaign of our Blackshirts. Again, we know the story by now. This is a program that lost 60 straight Classic Eight games, pulled it together for a winning season two seasons ago with a 13-8 record and their first trip to the playoffs. And then last year, a season to remember with only two conference losses, a Classic Eight title for the first time in 20 years, and a trip almost to the state tournament, falling just short in the sectional finals. A wonderful season. And two of the stars from that team are back. Two of the starters, All-State guards, Tyron Cook and Daniel Robinson, the seniors, the leading scorers and the leaders of this team, along with a great supporting cast of fellow seniors and juniors. So we're looking forward to a big game. It's already starting to fill up. We're enjoying at the present time a really great JV1 matchup where our JV1 Blackshirts lead 43-42 with less than 3 minutes left. So we'll try to give you some coverage on that because it really has been a great game, very evenly matched. But Connor, what are we looking for from the Blackshirts tonight?
Well, they're going to have to be competitive. That's number one. That's number one. They're going to have to try to get as many stops as possible. I haven't taken a really good look at the Arrowhead lineup here.
Oh, but I could tell you about Arrowhead. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's looking height-wise, they're pretty a little bit undermatched. I mean, they Arrowhead has a 6'6", 240 forward junior and a 6'4", 190 junior guard. And I mean, those two are going to be pretty difficult for them to be able to handle on the upcourt and the back. So,
and one player in particular, Connor, is the 6'5", 205 senior guard Mac Recky, who will be playing Division One ball next year, and he's probably one of the better players you'll get to see in high school basketball in recent years, and one that will adapt quite nicely to the college ranks. Rumor has it that he may be on the bench tonight with an injury, but that's not been confirmed, but if he is, that'll certainly make for a better game for the Blackshirts as Arrowhead gets called on a charge here with 2:14 left, trailing 43-42 to the Blackshirts. So, but Connor, you know, the last game we got to watch was a very impressive win over non-conference legends, Sussex Hamilton. Just a great, well-played game on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Full team effort. And one we really enjoyed watching.
Yeah, and watching this Waukesha South basketball program this entire season, it's really, really, really beautiful. I mean, how they've been able to come together over the past five or so games. Just like really every single point that we've talked about, from free throws, from point diversification, from limiting turnovers. That last game was an example, a beautiful example, a beautiful portrayal of all those points. And they're able just to continue this. I think the season can start to turn around for them because that last game, I mean, that team was incredibly difficult and they're up there. So,
and we rose to the occasion, which was great. We didn't fall apart when things got really tight. They maintained their composure and some real heroic play, some great individual efforts, as well as great team coordination and communication and support. And as we've been saying, when it's been all Tyron and Daniel, they don't have as much success, but
when
the rest of the team's contributing offensively and all the little things you talked about, they can compete with any team in this conference.
Exactly.
Maybe even in the region.
Yeah.
So terrific. So we're waiting for both teams to come out of the timeout here. JV1 game, Blackshirts leading 43-42 against the Warhawks. So I think we'll give you a little bonus coverage because this has really been fun to watch, and we're getting a good look at guys who will definitely be part of the varsity squad next year. The lineup on the floor is sophomore Yovani Perea, their big man. Yvonne Carter, their other big man who can play guard. Their point guard, the general, Zayas DeWalt. Morgan Schwartz, a three-point threat and a great all-around player. Son of soccer coach Billy Schwartz and uncle, the legendary Julian Schwartz, arguably the greatest player in Blackshirt history. And then, of course, Max Hennis from another great Waukesha basketball family, as big brother Brody was one of the stars from last year's Classic A championship team. So Arrowhead's got the ball. They're driving. Oh, a great little steal there. Nope, knocked it away, but they kick it out. Good patience by Arrowhead. They're trying to get a three. It looks like they're setting up for a three. Oh, a great move. Whoa, but it won't fall. Rebounded by Arrowhead. That won't fall either. Perea has it for the Blackshirts. A 137, 136 remaining. Perea's going to bring it up by himself. Gets it over the line. Kicks it to Max Hennis. Right deep backcourt. Now he dribbles more to the center. Gives it to Morgan Schwartz, left wing. Schwartz driving towards the middle. Gives it to Perea. Perea, top of the key. Good patience by the Blackbird. Oh, knocked out of bounds by the Warhawks.
That was a beautiful steal attempt there.
Yeah. You know, you risk a foul on those kind of plays, but he was very deliberate. Good inbound to Hennis. Hennis gets fouled right away. So that should put him on the line. And although Hennis is I believe he's a freshman, maybe not the right guy to foul. Yeah, he is a freshman. No, he's a sophomore. I stand corrected. They have him listed as a forward, interestingly enough. He plays a lot of guard here in this offense. 1:15 is your time remaining. Some very important free throws here for Hennis. It is a 1-1. Hennis, yes! All net on that clutch free throw. 44-42 Blackshirts. Second free throw as he earns the bonus. Number 5. The youngest of the Hennis clan, I believe. And that's in too. So 3-point Blackshirt lead. Arrowhead inbounds. No pressure from the Blackshirts. Settling into a man defense here. Drive into the basket. Good D by Schwartz. Schwartz with a beautiful block. Another block by Perea. It goes out of bounds. It'll be rewarded to Arrowhead. Perea knocked that out. Prior to that, so two blocks by Perea, but right on the drive, Morgan Schwartz. Beautiful block on that. All ball. Got him as he was up in the air, too, before he could even get the shot off. Inbound. Another block by Perea. And he finally gets, does he get fouled or does he get, yep, they're going to call the foul there. 59.3 seconds. You know, it's not, now it's a two-shot foul situation. I think Arrowhead could have held off on that with a three-point deficit. Bray, another great free throw shooter. Great form. It really is starting to fill up here. Oh, first one does not. It goes off the rim. So we'd like to get this second one and make it a two-score game with 59.3 seconds left. You're listening to the JV1 Blackshirts versus Arrowhead. And the second one's good. So it's a 4-point Blackshirt lead, 46-42, 59.3 remaining. Here come the mighty Warhawks. And they're going to try. It looks like they're setting up for a shot. Nope. Good drive in. Oh, kicks it underneath. Oh, another block. Devon Carter. I've seen five straight clean blocks. And a timeout called by Arrowhead as the ball. Tenacious D pops the ball loose. Arrowhead hangs on enough to get the timeout. 45.2 seconds left. And I'll tell you what, we'll take a quick break here, too, on the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Back Waukesha South High School, where the Blackshirts JV1 team 45.2 seconds away against a big win against conference rival Arrowhead. the JV2 team did not fare so well as the JV2 Warhawks won by a 20-point margin. Clock winding. Really nowhere to go for this big man. They've had a lot of success. Oh, he gets called for the travel there. A little too fancy in the backcourt there. Kind of a jitterbug there. So Morgan Schwartz will inbound from the side. 30.8 seconds left. And he inbounds it to Zayas DeWall. Trouble with the ball. He dishes out to Schwartz. Now to Hennis. Hennis all the way. Paus gets tipped. Oh, but Hennis gets the loose ball. Oh, it goes off of Hennis's foot. A free shot for the Warhawks. And another timeout with 17.9 seconds. Tenacious D by the Warhawks. So very unfortunate there. All the Black Shirts had to do is protect the ball, get fouled, and make a couple more free throws. But it's a two-point game now. 17.9 seconds, so Black Shirts just got to keep their composure. Make smart passes. Don't force anything. As always, it's a very athletic and a very big Arrowhead JV. Look at this lineup here, and they got some big fellows over there. Oh. And I recognize many of these games, many of these names from the Warhawk Gridiron program, which is also a very well-known program that puts a lot of kids in Division I football playing on Saturdays in the fall. So buzzer goes off. They're going to call teams back out. 17.9 seconds. And this is really fun for us to get this extra play here, pleasing to the fans. Reminds me of my youth when you go to see the Harlem Globetrotters opening up for the Buffalo Braves at the old Memorial Auditorium back in the glory days of NBA basketball. Inbound into Zayas DeWall, double team in the corner. Gets it out. No, it's knocked away. Black Shirts maintain possession. 15.2 seconds now. And trouble at the inbound here. Gets it to Javon Carter. Carter trying to dribble out. And he gets called a travel.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with the ref there, actually.
I do, too. I think he panicked, and he was trying to fight his way out of a big press. And I think in that situation, you just got to I think he lost the ball down court, take your chances. Yeah. But inbound to the Warhawks, top of the key, one of their great drivers, goes past a beautiful drive. Can't get the basket, though. Gets his own rebound. Can't make that one. Another rebound. Oh, tied up. Off a tip-in. And that's it. We're done with regulation. We'll have overtime. So more time for us to do a pregame, Connor.
I mean,
so honestly, we're going to be here a little bit later tonight.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, right there, I think that should have been the game.
Self-destruction.
Self-destruction completely. I mean, they were playing pretty good this entire quarter. And then last couple of minutes, they just make a couple of small errors and it cost them.
We forget these are young teenage kids, yeah. 14, 15, 16, and it's a lot of pressure. But, they live to fight another day.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I think now they just open up the hurt wagon, right? Lower the boom. We only have 17 fouls, so we're still, it's a one-on-one situation for the Warhawks if we need to foul. But so it's a 4-minute overtime clock here. Black Shirts have already come onto the floor waiting for the Warhawks of Arrowhead. They are adorned in red, white fonts and numbers with that Houston Oiler light blue trim. Black Shirts in their white with black fonts and numbers. These were the Varsity's uniforms last year in that historic season. So it's Perea, Carter, Schwartz, DeWalt, and Hennis for the Black Shirts. Perea will get the tip-off. And it's won by Schwartz and the Black Shirts. Almost in Blackhawks. Connor Boston of Chicago. Hennis, top of the key to DeWalt and the wing. Walt now coming to center court. He's going to drive. Nope. Looking for somebody. Kicks it out to Hennis. Back to Perea on the wing. Perea taking his time. Gives it now to Javon Carter, top of the key. Carter now to DeWalt. The general gives it to Morgan Schwartz here. Right back court. Now Schwartz coming to the middle. Dishes it to Perea, left wing. Perea to Hennis. So black shirts aren't in any hurry. Schwartz has it now on the wing. Gives it to DeWalt coming out of the corner. Now DeWalt coming all the way to the center court here. 3:17 and counting. Hennis now has it. Back to Perea, top of the key. Perea looks. Dishes to Hennis, but Hennis can't get the handle on it. Might have been deflected by a Red Hawk, but Hennis, Warhawk, excuse me, but Hennis touched it last, and the Warhawks have possession. Here they come, 3:05 and counting. Overtime, 46-46. A drive to the basket, and that should be an offensive foul, and it is, yes. I'm so glad they called it. I thought they were going to go the other way with that, but there was definitely a demonstrative hip check there on the drive. And he fouls out, too. So that's a key foul out. Kubish has been a real factor for the Warhawks. But we're seeing a lot of people showing up here tonight. We see the Tadiokas have now arrived, along with the Marks family. Oh, beautiful dish! But they call foul before the pass. They had Hennis all alone underneath. A great little pass by DeWalt. Reminded me of Tyron Cook's game-winning assist to big brother Brady Hennis in the semifinals last year against McGuanago in the house that Tony built. So DeWalt's going to shoot two here. Score is tied. 46 all, 2:50 remaining. We see Steve Staub, father of Brighton Staub, here. First shot by DeWalt. Yes! So the black shirts are back in the lead, 47-46. Would like to see him make this free throw. The Savicles have also arrived, sitting with Don Teagues. The second one is good by the general. So it's 48-46, 2:50 remaining. No press from the black shirts, but DeWalt does meet. They're meeting at half court. And defense gets it around that 34, that big driver. Oh, beautiful dish underneath. Nowhere to go. Dish it back. Oh, but he can't make the open shot. Could not close on it. A big break for the Blackshirts. Some really nifty passing in the paint there by the Warhawks. The only thing that didn't go well was the shot. A great block by the rim. DeWalt driving now. Dishes it out. Good patience. Carter's got it in the left wing. Gives it to Perea. Perea to Max Hennis now. Back to Javon Carter. Right back. Carter's going to drive, but he gets fouled first. That's on the big guy, 34. His name's Lucas Palmiter, who's played a solid game tonight. Really fun to watch him drive into the basket. And we love the mop top, too. I've been calling him mop top. So for those of you just tuning in, you didn't miss the varsity game. We're listening to the JV one game in overtime, a very exciting game. Hopefully this will be an omen of things to come. Oh, in and out. It couldn't go in. We just saw Bo Richter coming out onto the court. He's got an all red suit and a black shirt. And kind of reminds me of Chuck Barris from the Gong Show, except those are more of a tuxedo. Misses the second too. So two big misses for Carter and he fouls. So deep in the backcourt. It's still a 1-1, fortunately for the Blackshirts, but an ill-advised foul so far in the backcourt. Coach's worst nightmare. And that's four on Carter as well. 2:10 is your time remaining here in the overtime. And again, a great appetizer before the big entree comes to the table. Gives us time to pick out a nice wine, Connor. He misses the 1-1. Rebounded, and Carter has it. It's a little bit of a scrum. And it's now a jump ball. Possession arrow goes to Warhawks. Keep possession. Carter's got to get into the habit of looking for an outlet on these rebounds. He's trying to dribble in a crowd after getting the ball. And that's been very costly for the black shirts here in the late going. So ball will be inbounded. Tight man defense here. Goes all the way out. Number 12 has it. Gives it to that big man. A long three off the rim. Rebound. A beautiful play by Carter. Punching it away. Gives it to the general, Zayas DeWalt. 154 and counting. DeWalt gets the ball over half court under heavy pressure. Gives it to Hennis now. Hennis to Carter. Carter stolen beautifully. Wow, what a play. They really got to stop him here. Gives it into the corner. No shot there. Heavy pressure from DeWalt. He's driving in now. Beautiful little dish. Oh, and a beautiful little bunny. Hit this. As that goes in and out. Someone's got a remote on the black shirt basket, but a loose ball foul has been called. It's either the general or Perea. And Perea is expelled. That's his fifth foul, so he'll be asked to leave politely. And the new guy, Malik McGinty, will come in. Gives the Black Shirts a little bit more size here. I haven't seen much of McGinty. I know, you know, very few of these big guys have the kind of touch that Perea has. And the 1-1, he misses that one. Card to the rebound. A great outlet to Max Hennis here. 125 remaining. Hennis to the general. I say keep the ball in the general's hands. It's a two-point Black Shirt lead still. 117 now. Gives it to Max Hennis. Hennis to Javon Carter. Carter gets fouled. A.J. Ormond with the foul. So Carter at the line. And he gets two here. So automatic two shots. They're well over 10 fouls. 112 remaining. Two important free throws. First one. Oh, rolls around the rim and out. Tough break for Carter and the Black Shirts. Well, I'd like to see him put this one and at least give it a three-point scenario. Second free throw from Carter. That's off the front of the rim. Rebounded by the Warhawks. Here they come. Oh, they lose the ball, but they still have it. Stolen. Ball's on the floor. We have a little bit of a scrum. Held ball. Possession arrow favors the Black Shirts. Great defense by Zayas DeWalt. Defending a fast break situation here. Wow. I may run out of gas before the varsity game comes on, Connor. Hey, so during the timeout here, we're going to take a station identification here. Calvin, my man.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
And we're back. Blackshirt Arena, home of the Waukesha South Blackshirts. Also known as the C.J. Johnson Student Event Center. Since we don't have an official name for the field house, we're going to be dedicating naming rights every week to different Black Shirt standouts. And tonight, it's one of my favorite seniors, football and wrestling star C.J. Johnson, an unofficial commit to St. Thomas's in Minnesota, along with quarterback and Black Shirt basketball player Tak Tadioka. So Black Shirts come out from the timeout. Warhawks will be joining them shortly. And here they come. Black Shirts get the inbound. It'll be a side out. Jacob Davis will inbound. We got Schwartz, Hennis, Carter, and DeWalt. And they get the inbound to DeWalt off of some good screens. Warhawks reaching in. Boy, we'd love to see him foul DeWalt. Arguably one of the better free throw shooters. DeWalt's going to drive all the way. Ball gets stripped. Warhawks have it. Here come the Warhawks on a fast break to tie the game. Oh, and he can't get it. Oh, but they got a rebound. They put it in. We are tied now. Oh, and there should be a violation here. That should go against Arrowhead. They're messing with the ball after a made basket. They're not allowed to do that. That could even be a technical. We'll see. We'll see how officious the gentleman in stripes get here. 43.1 seconds is your time remaining. Again, if you're here for the varsity game, it has not started yet. We are in overtime here for JV1, which gives us time to adjust our eyesight with this bright red suit that Coach Richter is wearing. He might have a show after the game tonight. So I don't know what the discussion is. I see the Arrowhead coach looking very flabbergasted. So that bodes well for the black shirts. That could be a technical and a ball situation here. That was a made basket, and two of the players took the ball. The ball ended up in their hands afterwards, and I think in all the excitement, the ball went away. You know, you're supposed to leave the ball. Very light contact after a made basket, but they took the ball with them. And that is a violation. Yep.